Okay. A few reflections on Pesach, but also we'll bring in the idea of Shabbos HaGadol also. Starting with the idea of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are three peculiar halachas. First and foremost, is it can be proven from the Rambam, black on white, that if you're sitting alone, which never happened to anybody, if you're sitting alone by the Seder, you talk to yourself, and you ask yourself the Manishtana, even though you know exactly what you're going to answer yourself, you know the answer even before you ask the question. Yeah, you do the whole Seder with yourself. You could cut corners because you don't need to explain too much, right? Right. As opposed to have someone else there, you can't stop until he understands. But the basic halachas of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim of it has to be question answer, and that Masku Begnusu Mitzrayim B'Shevach, start with the slavery and end off with our freedom, and to read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi and the drushes thereof that the Baal HaGadah collated for us. Those basic halachas of the structure applies even if you're not explaining it to someone else. If it's just between you and yourself, that's amazing. That's something which definitely needs to be understood. That's probably the most peculiar halacha, but there are two others that need a little bit of explanation. And that is Kol Amarbe L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Harezeh Meshubach. Right? The more, the better. Now, there's many answers to this question, but the question is, we find in the Gemara that someone went down in front of Rabbi Chanina, to be Shliach Tzibur, and he started getting creative with the Shmona Esrei. So aside from the standard Hakel HaGadol Givanora, Ha'izus, he started throwing in a lot of praises. And Rabbi Chanina stopped at Saiminu L'Shvacha D'Morach. Have you actually finished praising God? There's no such thing as praising God adequately. And really, we should be saying nothing if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah said, Akel HaGodar Gibavanor Asher Lo Yisa Panim V'lo Yikach Shochad, if not for the fact that there would be that pasuk, we wouldn't even be allowed to say that. So you stick with HaGodar HaGibor V'anorah. Right? You say what we're licensed to say, you're not allowed to say more. Right? Because to say more is less. And he gives a mashal over there. King has millions of gold, and you praise him for having tens of thousands of silver. You come up short. We can never praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough. We only say what we're licensed to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vanora. Right? Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vanora, so everyone knows maybe perhaps another Gemara in Yuma, that by Chorban HaBayis, Daniel and Yirmiyo stop saying Gibor and Nora. The Goyim, are beating up on Amiso, Ayeh Gvurosav, where's his greatness, where's his might, if the Goyim are beating up on us. And the Goyim are Macharkin Bechol, and they're dancing where the base measure used to be, Ayeh Norosav, where's the awesomeness that they used to do? Right, so they only said Godel. So even Gibor and Nora, they stop saying because We don't appreciate how that could be true in the time of Chorban HaBayis until Anshei Knesset HaGdola came and Hechzira Torah L'Yoshna, they brought it back. And he said, Adarabah, Heinein Gvurosav, Heinein Norosav, just the opposite. Those are that is his might and that is his awesomeness. Heinein Gvurosav, that he holds back. And he doesn't, totally wipe out the Goyim, like Ezu Gibor, Kovashis Yitzral, the fact that he could control his anger and not wipe out the Goyim or picking on his children. And Heinei no Rosav, and as is also his awesomeness, Shul Molei Morosha, Karsh Baruch Hu, Eich Umei Echol Yizkayim Ben HaUmos, if not for the awesomeness of God, that is awesome, that one nation could survive in exile, interspersed amongst the other nations, and survive as a separate nation. That's awesome. Interesting to note that the Radziner, the Sefer Sod Yesharim, points out, you know, what tipped off Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that they could have a perspective that Daniel and Yirmiyahu didn't have? And the answer is because they lived through the Nes of Purim. They were, that was the Sanhedrin, of Ezra, the Sanhedrin that Mordechai was a member of. Living through the Nes of Purim, they got taught a lesson of how, you know, the Hester Panim also is a form of Hashgachas. They saw, hein hein gvurosav, hein hein no rosav. But the point for our discussion is that even Gibor and Nora were only allowed to say if we could appreciate it. So Purim gave us a new appreciation on Gibor and Nora. All right, but we have to watch what we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, and only say what we're licensed to say. And yet when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, no bars. Kol Amar Be'areze Meshubach. Right, aside from the story, but to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. Like, there's like, you could talk and talk and talk, there's no problem of watching what you say, because more is less. That problem doesn't exist Seder night. Like I said, there are many answers to this question, but we'll put the question on the table also. All right, and lastly, there's something that has seemingly nothing to do with the story itself, but it's the din of Rebbe Gamliel. Rebbe Gamliel Mer Kol Shalom Ashoshtoim Pesach Lo Yotze Yidei Chavazvayim Pesach Matzah Mora. You have to mention, Pesach Matzah Mora. You have to point, and explain what these mitzvahs are. And seemingly, this is the halacha, even if you jump the gun, like let's say, you were very hungry. So right after Kiddush, you went straight into Motzi Matzah. Right? And in the days of yore, did the Korban Pesach. You ate it already. Right? Seemingly totally unrelated, even if you did the mitzvah already, you will still have to incorporate into your Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach Matzah and Mora. Right? Even though it's not, it does little to describe the miracles of the Exodus. It's the mitzvahs that we do Seder night. And that's part of the Sipur. Well, Yotzei Dechos, Gamliel is talking about you're not Yotzei Yechiv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The story is not complete. That's why the story is not complete. Admittedly, there's a machlokas whether it's this din of Rabbi Gamliel is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. But that's the halacha, at least mid-rabbanan, that your story is not complete until you talk about Pesach Matzmor. It's part of your sipur. What's got to do with the story? It's not unrelated, but it's like your story is incomplete without it. For those who eat gebrucks, Rebbe Gamliel is of special significance. That's when you throw the matzo balls in the soup. That's right. They hit Rebbe Gamliel. By the yekas. Rebbe Gamliel is the signal. That's when you go to the kitchen and put the matzo balls in the soup. I'm going to talk a little bit about Shabbos HaGadol. In general, before we get to Shabbos HaGadol per se, there is a very interesting crossover between these two chagim, Shabbos and Pesach. Right, in two sense, in two ways, and we'll discuss that. First of all, in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, Usvartachem Mimacharas HaShabbos. So we know, we the believers in Torah Shebaal Peh, Macharas HaShabbos means Pesach. If with the Tzdukim, we fought for generations on this. They want to say Shabbos means like Shabbos Chol HaMoed, two Dapim in Meseches Menachos, dedicated to all the proofs and all the debates that there were with the Tzdukim. So why did the Torah, be misleading in this way and write call Pesach Shabbos? But it goes the other way also. Now you would think Shabbos stands on its own; it's as old as the world itself. Right, on the seventh day of creation, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos. Yeah, it's in the end of the first Aliyah of Bereishis, the Parsha of Vayechulu. Vayrochiv is Yom Hashvi Vayekadesh also. Ki Vosh Vas Mikom Lachto. It's like its own truth. Right? It stands on its own. It was created by God already. It's as old as the Genesis itself. Right? And yet, we find in the second version of the Aser Sedibris that Chazal tells us, that B'dibur Echad Nemru, all the variations that the Aser Sedibris has there on Parshas Yisrael, and the other version of them in Parshas Veschanan, right, which we read on Shabbos Nachamu, second version of the Aser Sedibris, so like Zohar and Shamar. So we're told all the differences were B'dibur Echad. So over there, in the Tzivui of Shabbos by Shomer Yom HaShabbos, doesn't say anything about creating heaven and earth. It says, "V'zacharta ki eved ha'isa v'ratzayim v'yotzei Hashem akein tzivcha Hashem okecha lasos es Yom HaShabbos." Remember, you were a slave in Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you to keep Shabbos. That's what it says. In total, as opposed to, the version of Aser Sedibris in, Parshas Yisrael talks about the Genesis, right? The second version doesn't talk about the Genesis at all. It talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? What does Shabbos have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right? So the second version of Aser Sedibris, the whole reason for Shabbos is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this duality is reflected in the Kiddush that we say, Leil Shabbos. We say Zechel Maaser Breishis Kiyum Tchila Mikrei Kodesh. It's the first of all holidays. Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned like one line after another. The Chazal, the Anshei Kedushas HaGdolim, when they gave us the Kiddush, they alluded to the two versions of Aser Sedibris. Zechel Maaser Breishis. Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. Now, what does Shabbos have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? No, but of course there must be a connection because, as per the Inyan of Shabbos HaGadol. Now, one of the sources for Shabbos HaGadol is that it's a zecher for the special halacha that there was special for that generation, which does not apply for all generations since. And that was that the Korban Pesach was Mekhol Ba'asr, was separate, set aside, it was separated as a Korban on the 10th of Nisan. That's when there was Mishchu Kfud, so halacha that there's in Parshas Bo, to separate the Korban Pesach already on the 10th of Nisan, in preparation for its being sacrificed on the 14th, which was a special halacha for that generation, like Rashi brings, in the name of Masya ben Chorosh. Right, Am Yisrael needed some mitzvahs to be worthy of the Geula. But since we were so, embedded in Avodah Zorah, so we had to do some maisa to separate ourselves, from our previous lives and from the Egyptians, and that was played out by, pulling and separating this, the sheep or the, or the goat for Korban Pesach. It's a special halacha for that generation. To separate ourselves from the tumah that we were stuck in, right? So Chazal tell us that we have a Masorah that also Yom Shabbos Haya, the 10th of Nisan that year came out on Shabbos, and that's one of the sources for Shabbos HaGadol because the 10th of Nisan was Shabbos. The obvious question is, it's actually two obvious questions that arise, right? It was a special halacha for that generation alone, so why do we have to commemorate it? It's special for that generation. But, if it's something that needs to be commemorated, so you commemorate the date, not the day. We should be doing something on the 10th of Nisan. So we have a Masorah that was Shabbos. Day of the week is not in our hands. If we have to mark a event, we mark it by the calendar date, the lunar date. So why Shabbos?
Was this allowed on Shabbos, picking out the carbon?
No, but it wasn't. The question is moot. I don't have to even think about it because there was no Shabbos yet. Shabbos was given in Mora, you know, after they left Egypt, you know, after Shvi Shel Pesach.
So it was just...
It wasn't Shabbos
so,
yet.
What we're referring to it as Shabbos, you're saying?
Yeah, well, in retrospect, we see it was Shabbos. In retrospect, what?
But it was an even Shabbos.
Yes, right. All right, we'll talk about this. You're asking the right questions. You're all asking the right questions. Okay. I don't know if we ever spoke about this, but there's a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzirah that says, Karshko is Bara Olamo B'Sefer V'Sefer V'Sipur. God created his world with a book and a story. It's a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzirah. A book, and a story. So what do you suppose that means? All right. Well, the type of thing that you have in a book, you know, what makes a book, and sadly we have to explain this. Book is doesn't mean like a bunch of printed pages. Yeah, no, that's dumb too. That's dumb. That doesn't make a book. You know, the very word sefer, you know, common root with the word sipur, story, but the word sefer means borders, like safar. You have having halacha, a border city, it's an ir sapar, right? That means that there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. What you call, there's a plot. No, but it doesn't have to be like a plot as in a story, but it means, you know, that there's a, there's a beginning, there's a development, and then there's a conclusion. That's the proper way to understand, what makes a book, as opposed to stam, you know, transcripts, words put in writing. You know, it's a chibur, like an alternate word for book that the Rishonim use, chibur. But it means mechubar. It's, you know, like the mechaber, you know, it's connected. You know, just transcripts of things that people say that's not a book. That's to put something in writing. But a book means that there are borders, a beginning, middle, and end. It's a chibur, it is connected. Right. So what does that say about life? That we say that life is a book and a story, and we'll discuss the difference, you know, between a book and a story in a second, but generally speaking, you know, going to the common denominator between the two, you know, what makes a story? Who says there is a story? Now, what do I mean? You know, when you see an event in life, you know, so, the eyes take a picture. Look, I'm not taking, I see a still, right? And then, you see, what things look like a second later. What things look like a second later. Who says there's any connection? You know, every moment is onto its own. Live from moment to moment. Basically a secular perspective of time. You know, that the past is gone. You know, the future is not here yet. The present's like the batting of an eyelash, right? You know, every instant is onto its own. And there's seemingly no hard, factual evidence contrary. When you say, there's a story here, that's all in your mind. Right, you start connecting dots, and, you know, and they did this because of this, and this is the agenda, and this is what they're thinking. There's no hard evidence of that. You just see raw facts, you know, and, you know, connecting things, that there is what we call a story here. There's a plot. That's a purely mental activity. You want to think about that for a second?
Are you saying it's speculative? Taking...
Speculative. There's no hard evidence to... There's no hard evidence that says otherwise. You just say there's an event. Event, 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 event. Yeah. All right. Can science say that there's some type of master plan? That's you know, the mind, you know, links all these things together, and you know, and maybe the whole thing's just a product of imagination. It happens all the time. That's the halacha of being sure to be down the kafskos, right? When we say there's a destiny, another way of saying it is that there's a story to life. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Everything is leading to that point. That's what you're saying. Another, talk about it, there's a destiny. In other words, you say in simpler, down-to-earth terms, there's a story here. Now we know, you know, we... Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, we believe we're living a script. But not, we'll get into this in a second. You know, but we believe we're living in a script. In a sense that, istakol b'raisa u'bara alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu first, you know, wrote the Torah, black fire and white fire. And then from that, he built the world based on that. Which means, you know, reality is following a script. All right, now, and that's the first book that the Sefer Yetzirah is referring to. There's a Sefer. There's the Sefer written before creation. All right, black fire and white fire, the Torah.
I don't remember, do we talk about black fire and white fire?
No, it's a Chazal. It's on what way the Torah exists, and black fire and white fire. That's a Lashon Chazal. Eish chor al gabe eish levana. In that way, it was, you know, the manifestation of Torah before the world's created, before there's such a thing as ink and parchment. However, it's a mushel for also big ideas, but it's beyond the scope of what we're going to discuss today. Right. Right. We believe. Right, that now we'll talk about you know, to what extent everything is scripted, to what extent there's a little bit of latitude for free will. We'll discuss that in a second. Right, but the you know, we spoke about in Derech Hashem. We keep on mentioning. We got 6,000 years. We got 6,000 years to play, right? And then game is over. You know, when we enter the 7th millennium. Following the pattern, the Shabbos pattern. Ramchal wrote this in Derech Hashem, that every week is like a mini destiny. 6 days connected to 6,000 years, and the Shabbos, you know, is connected to 7th millennium, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuts everything down, you know, in order to pave the way for Olam Haba. That's why Shabbos also, Me'ein Olam Haba, it's the 7th, the function of the 7th to shut things down, so we could move on in the 8th millennium. And that's the way, like we learned in the Derech Hashem, you know, every, you know, if you'd be spiritually perceptive, you'd see every week, you know, is a new reality. You know, life is now on a higher plateau, because Shabbos closed the circuit, and now, starting next week, we're on a higher level. And we move towards the end of days, towards the 7th millennium, 1 week at a time, in small, the 7 days. The end of the 7th day, you finish that, you know, that shlav, and now you're one step closer to the 7th millennium. Move closer to Achris Hayomim, 1 week at a time. Right, to those who are spiritually perceptive. Right, to those who aren't, you know, it seems like it's just the same old story. Back to the rat race, you know. It looks so. Like like the pasuk says, you know, by Noach, you know, of course, we talk about the four seasons. It's called Lo Yishbosu. Four seasons never ceases. And from there, we have the halacha that a ben Noach sheshavas chayiv misa. Now, he's not allowed to keep Shabbos. Shabbos has nothing to do with him. You know, the goyim live in this endless rat race that's not going anywhere. Right? You know, the opposite of a story. The story goes on, chapter by chapter. All right? And that's part of what Shabbos represents, that, you know, life is leading somewhere. Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Yom Sheni b'Shabbos, until Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh. And it comes to that point. And like we said, our chapters are, you know, they're week-long chapters. They're year-long chapters also, you know. So we'll discuss. But that's the basic machlokes, you know, between us and the secular world. Is there a story? Is there a story here? The second person says, well, there's the life of the moment, and that's all there is. And there is no destiny. That means there is no story. There is no reason why. In a story, there's like a theme that binds together all the moments and all the events. And what do you call the plot? You know, it could be also called the master plan. It's the same thing. Right, the idea of Shabbos is that there is a destiny. Right. But here's the thing. Right, Shabbos alone says that God has a plan. Doesn't have anything to do with us. He'll do his thing, and he will not be deterred. He'll get what he wants. You know, but you know, am I a player in that game? Everyone knows the famous Medrash that after years, Adam Rishon bumped into Cain. And, yes, you killed your brother. What happened with that? He said, Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti. I did tshuva and I cut a deal with God. I got a commuted sentence, you know. Instead of death, I got no of a nod. And even that got commuted to Vayeshev Beretz Nod. He dropped the nod part, right? Right, so Adam Rishon says, you know, Kachi kocha shel tshuva hayali las, that's the power of tshuva, I should have done tshuva. Pasach v'omar mizmar shir liyom ha-Shabbos. Right, he opened up and said, mizmar shir liyom ha-Shabbos. So, what's the pshat in the Medrash? Right, the idea is like this. Of course, Adam Rishon knew what Shabbos was, because he got grace, and he wasn't ejected from Gan Eden until Motzei Shabbos. That's why he had to invent fire on Matzoi Shabbos, so he made Bori Moreh, because he never saw darkness till Matzoi Shabbos. He sinned on the same day he was created, on Friday. But he got, you know, he got a grace period till Matzoi Shabbos. Right? All right, that's why, you know, Adam Rishon himself made a Bori Moreh, and he also made a Baruch HaMavdu Ben Kodesh L'Chol when he realized how Shabbos is special. He knew what Shabbos was. Right? But Shabbos is God's day. You know, God rested from creating heaven and earth. Now, rested, of course, means that he made a resting point. That's what it means. Bo Shabbos, bo Menucha. That he created a point where all motion will come to rest. I mean, he created a goal. The goal is where things come to a resting point. Everything's moving towards that goal. Rest is, you know, the is the end. That's the resting point. That's the menucha of Shabbos. I mean, the menucha of Shabbos is not that you just goof off for 25 hours. It means you've reached a goal. It's like things are innately at rest. You're not just stomp goofing off. You know, all right. Kol melachtecha asuya. You've done everything you can do this week. It's done. You're done. Finish line. In that sense. That's what it means. Shabbos is, you know, a cultural created rest. Why is rest an act of creation? It's creating a goal that things come to a rest at. End point. Things come to a point over there. Right, but that's God's doing. Right? If we would, God forbid, lose the Luach, right? So Yom Tov we wouldn't have anymore. Right? But Shabbos would still have. I mean, that's the halacha. Right? If God forbid, we'd lose the calendar would fall out of use, so Yom Tov there wouldn't be anymore. It's not happening this Pesach. You're still going to have to make Pesach. Right, go back to cleaning right after the shir. Right, something like that would happen. So there wouldn't be any Yom Tovim, including Yom Kippur, wouldn't be. But Shabbos there is. Shabbos is not totally in Besdin. You know, we don't sanctify Shabbos. We have a mitzvah to make Kiddush, but Shabbos is sanctified. You know, God sanctifies Shabbos. It happens naturally. Sun sets on Friday. Shabbos comes in. It's God's day. The question is, what does it have to do with us? So now, without getting too deep in what Shabbos and Tshuva have to do with it, what Adam Rishon learned from Cain was, if there's such a thing as Tshuva, Shabbos is that God makes the world right. Tshuva means that I could tap into the power of Shabbos and make things right also. That's why Pasach Vamar Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. That's what Cain taught Adam Rishon. Taught him about Tshuva. That the Shabbos principle, that Kodesh Baruch Hu will put things right. Everything will eventually come to a grand reconciliation. And you could tap into that power, and it's called Tshuva. It's one of the many applications of the power of Shabbos. All right, but the question is, what extends... Yeah, of course, Adam Rishon was special. He was a creation of God himself, so you would say Adam was Jewish, you could say. Because he was Yetzir Kapov Shah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? But the generations that came, like we learned to the Derech Hashem, all the other generations came because of, they're a lower form of humanity as a result of Chet Adam Rishon, not the humanity that God created, the humanity that man created after the Chet, and reduce the level of humanity from which come all the goyim. We learned Derech Hashem, section 2, chapter 4. All right? Not the type of man God created. All right? So we call it not Jewish, therefore. Now, we mentioned this a few times. That's why Am Yisrael is called Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Right? The one nation that was meant to be. God only wants to create one nation. We mentioned this from Isaac Chover, that when man went from kosnos or with an aleph, vestments of light, to kosnos or with an ayin, vestments of skin, that's when he went from one nation, aleph, to 70 nations, ayin. 70 nations of the world came because of Chet Adam Rishon, when man went from light to skin. So let's say Adam Rishon, who we call, what we would call Jewish, Besod Atem Kruim Adam, you're called Adam, and the Goyim are not called Adam. Right? But from him onwards, there's no one Jewish. Right? There's no one that could tap into Shabbos. Shabbos remains God's, so God has a plan. But, we're just pieces being moved around, So for us, there is no plot. For him, there's a plot. He has a... All right. And that's where Pesach comes in. All right. And there's a very interesting interrelationship between these two. These two chagim have a chicken and egg type of relationship. Chicken egg paradox is Shabbos and Pesach. Right? Because Pesach, we were taken out, we were separated to be a different nation. And that's what made Am Yisrael a nation that could have Shabbos. Right? So without Pesach, there's no Shabbos. On earth, that is. It remains God's day. Shabbos on earth, he's a special nation that's been chosen to be his people. And therefore, you could enjoy his day. And that's what Pesach does. Right? But there's a problem the other way. Right? That Shabbos is Yom Tchila L'Mikroi Kodesh. It is the first of all holy days. And the Zohar says that all, you know, all the Yom Tovim are, you know, they get their energy from Shabbos. Shabbos was the original creation of Kedusha. By Baruch Kim Shalom, by Kaddish also, all the other Yom Tovim draw from Shabbos. So yeah, that's what I said. You have a chicken and egg problem, right? Without Pesach, you can't have Shabbos, and without Shabbos, you can't have Pesach. Shabbos is the shoresh of all Kedusha, but Pesach is what makes Am Yisrael receivers, you know, that could tap into a special nation that could tap into Shabbos and hence have Shabbos and have all the other Kedushas that flow from it. And I can understand, what was going on over there. The quagmire that Am Yisrael was in at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can't have Pesach without Shabbos, right? And you can't have Shabbos without Pesach, right? How do you break out of that? The chicken and egg problem. All right, so Shabbos there wasn't because it wasn't a Pesach yet. Right, so since there's no Jewish people yet because we weren't separated, Am Mikerav Goy Mikerav Goy. Right, so we can't have Shabbos yet because we're not that special people yet to have Shabbos. Right, right. But you can't have Pesach without Shabbos either. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So he gave a special halacha for that generation, right? That, you know, in that generation was called the 10th of Nisan because there wasn't Shabbos on earth yet, right? But it was, by no coincidence, the day that was destined to become Shabbos. It was the seventh day of the week. So what do we do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, separate yourselves, right? And the act of separating Korban Pesach was Mishru, Chazal Darshan, that with that they were Mechavin. It was like when you pull the animal, so Mishru Yedechem Me'avodah Zorah, you're pulling away from Avodah Zorah, V'kulachem Tzon Shel Mitzvah, and take the Tzon, you know, for Mitzvah, or another Lashon Chazal, Kues Atzmechem, take yourself for Avodah Sabore. Right? We had to separate ourselves, you know, to be a different nation, quasi-separation. Sort of tapping into Shabbos, but it couldn't be called Shabbos yet because we hadn't gone through Pesach yet. All right, but this renews itself in every generation. It's not necessary from that point onwards. From that point onwards, now we have Shabbos. So Shabbos every year, you know, is like we say, Hamavdu ben Kodesh Lachol ben Or Lachoshech ben Yisrael Amin. Shabbos itself makes that separation between us and the other nations. All right, so Shabbos HaGadol performs the function in every year of being the hachana for Pesach. And Pesach needs this special hachana. These two chagim are so interconnected with each other. All right, Shabbos being the shorsh of Kedusha, but Pesach being the ikar as far as making us the worthy receiver for Shabbos. That means that Pesach is not really like the other Yom Tov that's a derivative of Shabbos. Pesach helps supplement Shabbos because there's no receivers for Shabbos without Pesach. And it's special, like the, you know, Shabbos goes very special. It's like another half of Pesach. That's why some people have the minhag of reading the Haggadah on the Shabbos Haggadah. So it's called Shabbos HaGadol, the very big Shabbos. Because this Shabbos is also, it's half the story of Pesach. It's inclusive of Pesach, it's inclusive of all the Shabbosos that there'll ever be. Because this was the Shabbos that empowers Pesach, and Pesach, you know, in turn, makes it possible to keep Shabbos. That's what's so big about this Shabbos. It's like the elemental and root Shabbos for the whole year. But Pesach is a lot more than just the ability to receive Shabbos. You know, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu now put his story in our hands. You know, there's a famous saying, the media doesn't report the news, the media makes the news, right? Now, not to chas v'shalom, to equate ourselves to the fake news, as the president calls it, right? But you understand that, you know, without changing the text, you could read from a script. And if just by putting the accent on certain words, right, well, especially if you have free rein with the punctuation, you put a lot of spin on the story without changing one word from the script. Right? You know, Lama said that's the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Torah Shebaal Peh puts a lot of spin on what the Torah Shebichsav says, a lot, you know, and without changing one word in the text. You know, with the drushes, with the explanations, with the cross-referencing. You know, I mean, we've done, like, ayin tachasayin means money, you know. And we didn't change the text. Right? There's, you know, the book and how you tell the story. That's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a great deal of comment that could be put. And that's Am Yisrael's role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the book. We tell the story. Right? And that's where there's plenty of room for free will and creativity, even though there's a script already. Because there's a sefer. There may be a sefer. Right? But then there's the sipur, telling the story. We read this in yesterday's Haftorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Am zu yatzarti li tehilosi yisaperu. This nation I created for me, they tell, they are misaper, tilosi, they tell my glory. And of course, who says, he's not letting Paro give in. He's going to harden his heart, leman saper shmi b'chol aretz. I want people to talk about me. And Am Yisrael tells that story. Being his chosen people is not just to be close to him, but that book that he wrote, we're the ones who tell the story. And that's how the Hanhaga is in the hands of Am Yisrael, as there's so much latitude in how you're going to read that book. If we do good, so you would see how it's true that Avodas Hashem pays. If we do bad, the same message will come out. You know, that crime against the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't pay, right? The message will be the same, you know, in the global sense, but it'll look very different. Whether the Hanhaga will be chasodim or dinim, that's all in how we tell the story. The text won't change. The message of the text will get across. The question will get across with chasodim, gets across with dinim. And that's all in how we tell the story. Yeah. What we say and how we act, that's acting it out. Right. And that's how the other book is getting written. The other book is the book, you know, at the end of time, we're going to have a book to read. Right? How the story unfolded. How, from the book of Black Fire and White Fire, how we were misoperate, that happens in the middle phase, how we tell it. And the way we tell it is the way it gets written. And there's like another book that's in the making and in the writing. You know, the book that we wrote. Now, the truth is that, there's a mini of this every year. Right? Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. Rosh Hashanah, the three books. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason, right? Sifrei Tzadikim, Sifrei Rishayim, Sifrei Benonim. In small, God writes another chapter. You know, it's like a transition of, There's the big book that's already written. There's like a mini book that gets written on Rosh Hashanah. Right? And that's when God's king. We're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tishrei. Right? But when did they coronate the Jewish kings? Nisan. God writes the book on Tishrei, right? But we tell the story in Nisan. That's Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael. Malchei Beis David. They used to count the years by Nisan. Nisan was like the Rosh Hashanah. Because that's our Malchus in telling the story. God's Malchus is in writing the Sefer. Our Malchus is in the Sipur. Now, what does that mean? I'll give it, the Gemara says like this. Right? And that's where you'll see the results springtime. Right? God says on Rosh Hashanah, X amount, it's Gemara, X amount of gallons of water fall. That's he decreed. Am Yisrael wasn't very good. He decreed a very, very sparse, very little rain for that year. But what happens, Am Yisrael does tshuva, right? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He doesn't change the gzera, right? The exact same water will fall, but it'll fall exactly where it's needed, on the fields. It won't fall, won't be flooding the streets here. Won't cause the sewers to overflow. Well, the water will go exactly where it's needed. And it could be as if it was plenty of rainfall. If every drop goes exactly and only where it's needed, not anywhere else, no waste. Right? So the script didn't change. Right? But the story changed. Because Am Yisrael did tshuva. Right? And that's how we tell the story, as it were, the way we act, not just the way we talk, but the way we act. And now, without changing the actual edict, what's written in the book, X amount of gallons fall, but it fell exactly where you need them, and it could be even more beneficial than a year of plenty of rainfall, if every drop fell exactly where it's needed. And the same is true the other way, the Gemara says. All right, so Am Yisrael was very good on Rosh Hashanah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed lots of rain. Okay, Am Yisrael, unfortunately, doesn't keep the level that they were at. So Kodosh says, fine, all this rain will fall. It falls on the highways. It makes flooding. You get the same amount of water, and in the way you would never want it. And the fields don't benefit from that either. Right? So that's, the script is the same. This amount of water falls. Right? And the... just the way the story unfolded, which is in our hands, we tell the story. So without changing the script, right, could look very, very different. And this very much is a very good model to understand to what extent everything is. There's Hashgacha Pratis on every detail, and there's a destiny, and yet there's still free will. There's the Sefer and there's the Sipur. And that's Tishrei and that's Nisan. And generally, that's, it's not Chodesh Aviv. When you see how much crops actually grow, you know how you told the story. So you see the story unfold. That's our Malchus. And that's what penetrated the world. Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Ha'aretz Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is the revelation that there is a story of life. There's a destiny. There's Hashgacha. Like all the Sforim say, from Yitzias Mitzrayim, you see the Emuna and Hashgacha. Hashgacha controls the world. Right? That means that there's a story to life. There's a destiny. There's a destination. And it's within life also, but not for everyone. Right? Am Yisrael lives that story. We live that story. The other nations are there to hear it from us. We are the players of that story. We're the characters in that book. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plan and it's above, and just like the cats and the dogs and the livestock are also part of that story. No. We are players. We are players of that story, and it's our job to communicate to any intelligent being that there's a story. That's our function of being Or L'Goyim, is that there's a story to life. There's a purpose. So I say, call it a plot. There's a plot. Same thing as saying there's a destiny. Same thing as saying there's a purpose. These things are all the same. None of these things exist in physical reality. These are all in the mind. These are all mental connections, mental patterns. But we're saying it's true. It's true. There is a master plan. It's binding reality together. That's leading to somewhere. So Shabbos was the beginning of it. You know, Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Pesach is that plan not only, you know, is revealed, but Am Yisrael gets coronated to be players in that story. We're the characters of that book. The rest of the world's just watching. They're just watching. And if they want to hear the story, fine. And if not, you know, then they'll never know what they live for. But they hear the story from us. We're the players. We're the characters. And not just some characters, you know. It's in our hands to tell the story. And that puts plenty of spin. Not open-ended, can't deviate from the script, but there's plenty of latitude to make a lot of difference, hopefully for the better, but God forbid, yeah, other way also. All right. And that's why Seder night, even if you're just sitting, you're alone, you tell the story. Because the story of Sipur Yitzchak is the story of life. On a deeper level, every year, that's what it means, B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayavdom Lir Satsuk Yitzchak, every year, right, every generation, reality gets liberated again from some level of evil. Like we've been learning in the Derech Shem, we're gradually in a way that maybe we can't see, moving towards Tikkun, always moving towards Tikkun. And that's called Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's called that we're being liberated from the hold that the Sitra Achra has on life. And so Yitzias Mitzrayim is going on. Yitzias Mitzrayim is the story of life itself, being liberated from the evil and moving towards Tikkun. Shabbos, God created the story. Pesach is that now we have been made characters of the story. And we're living it out. Telling it. Living it and telling it. That's why the two are so interconnected. And they have the common denominator. You know, that there's a story to life. There's a destiny. Right, and the avod of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a renewal of the story of life itself. Right, and so even if you're sitting alone, you tell the story. Because it's a renewal of the koach, of the fact that there's a story to life itself. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the pattern that life itself is following. That we're being liberated from the Sitra Achra and moving to a higher place, moving towards Tikkun. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the world was going nowhere. The Avos believed that there is a destiny. They believed it. But the world wasn't going nowhere. And that's why Shem Ve'Ever didn't even bother. Didn't try to change the world. It's hopeless. God will make the world right when He wants to. Shem Ve'Ever, Noach, everyone. Avraham Avinu believed that things could be better. That's what he believed. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him back with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so it's very wrong. We talk Kel Shakai. What's Kel Shakai? What does that word mean? You know, that shame. So the Gemara says, Chagiyah Shomer L'Olam Odai. Said the world is like this. This is the way the world is. The world used to, it was expanding. Atcha Gar Chosh Hu Vormel Odai. The world is, you know, the world has its pattern that doesn't, you know, that's stuck in. Right? So even though Avraham Avinu believed in the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, he uses it, you know, throughout Brace, but I only showed him Kel Shakai. Shomar Lo Olam Odai, that the world is, you know, this is, you know, the world is stuck in a certain pattern. But Ushmi Havaya Lo Nodatim, the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, I didn't reveal to them. They knew about it. And that's when Yetzias Mitzrayim comes. Now the Shem Havaya is being revealed. The world is moving towards Tikkun. So even though on the surface there's still the Shem Shakai keeping the laws of nature in place, right? But secretively behind it, you know, it's been revealed. It's not so secretive anymore. We're just behind it in a way that Am Yisrael knows, at least. Am Yisrael knows. All right, the world is now moving towards a higher place. And that started from Yetzias Mitzrayim and onwards. That's where the story gets started. You have to look at it. The whole Bereishis until Achar Selachem, like Rashi says, the Torah could start from Achar Selachem. The whole Bereishis until Achar Selachem is what we call in the literary world prologue. It's all prologue. The story gets going from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Achar Selachem. That's what Rashi means. The Torah could start from Achar Selachem. Everything until then is a prologue. The Avos believed, but at Akash who showed everything they believed in at Yetzias Mitzrayim and onwards. And that's what Akash who promised Avraham Avinu about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right now, you're going to have to take it on faith, and you're not going to see any difference in your own lifetime. And all the Nefesh Yasu Bechorin all burnt out. What did Avraham Avinu have from everything he tried? He had one. He had Yitzchak. According to some Shittas, Eliezer fried out also and became Og Melech HaBashan. There was a medrash like that. Eliezer of Rome became Og Melech HaBashan. Even Eliezer he didn't have. He had Yitzchak. That's all he had from all his life of preaching. Couldn't change the world. Couldn't even change the Nefesh. Even Nefesh Asu Bechorin. All right. The world started changing, and everything Avraham Avinu worked for came to fruition from Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why if you're sitting alone, you tell the story, because this night, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story of life itself, and there's a renewal of the power of the story. There's a strengthening of the power of destiny on Seder night. Strengthening of the power of destiny. Strengthening of the story. And that's why I call it Marabila Saparism. On this night, there are no holds, there are no bars. Because the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story that's inclusive of all stories. Everything ever happened to us in the future. Shavuos, Sukkos, Hanukkah, Purim, all progress that we ever made is all rooted in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's like the story that, all what happens in the future are just more chapters to that story. And that's why on this night we're allowed to say and say and say, and you can't say too much because we're renewing every possible. On a specific day, you only say what you understand, so keep it to God, Gibor, Nora. More is less. It's on a specific day where there's a specific mentality, there's a specific light, but Pesach night is not specific. It's the story of life itself. It's an endless story. That's why I call it Marvel Saparism Shubach, and I were licensed to say and say and say and say. And everything that you say makes a difference. Because this is the night where it's not specific, it's general to the whole 6,000 years. All right.
So you should pray for the time of Judah? Like almost equal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it just has a different nuance. That there's a renewal of the power, that there's a destiny to life. That's the unique energy of Leil Aseret, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. But you're not done until you say Pesach Matzah Mora. Right? Because there's three things we got to get straight. All right. Three things you can't forget. You're not done telling the story unless you say Pesach Matzah Mora. Aside from the obvious, Avadim Hayinu, Maschu Benusim, Sain B'Shevach. Why question answer? It's another. Go to my website. We have an entry on that. It's supposed to accentuate that we're in a different world order. But the idea of Pesach Matzah Mora, what these three things represent. Pesach Asher Pasach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Abatei Mitzrayim. Abateinu. Benokves Mitzrayim, Vespatenu Hitzu, he jumped over us. So, what does that mean? All right, so, first and foremost, what that means is that Am Yisrael lives in a different dimension than the Goyim. What does it mean? Just skip over us. Go around. Yeah, do right, do left. Jump over. So the pshat is like this. You know, and this has to do with the fact we weren't allowed to leave our houses. We're in a different dimension. It means that we were like sunk in a different dimension, and the mashchis went in a straight line. That's when he jumped over us. Right? He didn't go around us. You know, we were like, he went from the mashchis, from his perspective, you know, people were, in Egypt were dropping dead in a straight line formation. If you'd be watching from bird's eye view, you'd say they're falling like dominoes in a straight line. So, and it's as if the Jews weren't there. That's what it means. We were in inner space. That's what it means. Stay indoors. We're in a special inner space. We have to understand that we live in a different dimension as the Goyim. So it means skipped over us. Meaning to say that it was like, you know, he walked right where we were, and it's like we weren't there. We live in a different dimension. And that's why we have Shabbos and they don't. It's Saturday, right? And it's only Shabbos for us. It's not Shabbos for them. We live in a different dimension. That's why we tell the story and they don't. If they want, they could hear the story. But listening to us or watching what happens to us, depending on the way we act. And that's what it means. Even though it's Saturday for everyone, it's only Shabbos for us. We're in a different dimension than they are. We're living the story. We're living and telling the story. They're just watching on the outside. So that's what Pesach represents. Of course, we were saying we're in a different dimension than they are. Everyone in Egypt dropped dead without exception. We just weren't in Egypt. We're in a different dimension. That's what it means, skipped over us. Inner space. Right. What does matzah represent? Hashem Shlohu Yispik B'Tzekam. Right, L'Achmitz. Now, it's very strange. Right, you know, this is a question should bother any thinking person. That was on Pesach day. They were on the run. They left on Pesach morning. Right, but they were commanded the night before with the Koran Pesach al matzah samorim yochlu. That means there's two different matzahs. There's the matzah of Leil HaSeder that they prepared by divine command. They had to have a Korban Pesach with matzah. Read the Pesukim in Parshas Bo. Then there was the matzah that they baked on their way out. You know? And that's why it says, you know, it wasn't mitzad, you know, the mitzvahs of Leil HaSeder, which they had done the night before, and they had the matzahs that they baked then. There's new matzah. There's matzah that they're baking on the run. Right? As they are going to say, she'll always pick matzah, nigleim, melech, malchi, amlochi, makodesh, baruchu. Right? That, you know, we have to realize that we are bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Right? You know, so even though we generally have free will, you know, to be boicher, but that doesn't mean that we serve God by choice. That's not what it means. It just means that HaKadosh will give us that work to do, that we have to struggle and make decisions, you know. You know, we have to go through that agony because it makes a big tikkun, because when we choose against evil, we're actually negating it. But we have to do what he wants, you know, whether we have free will or not. And that's what chametz represents. Chametz represents space, right? You know, puffs up. Air. Airspace. Right? So in airspace, you know, so there's room. There's latitude. You could move to the right, move to the left, move forward, move backwards. Latitude, free will. Matzah, what does matzah represent? Right? No room. No room to move. We just ran. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nigla Aleinu, we just ran. We just ran. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers that. Zechartil Chesin Reich, Avas Kulosayich, Lechtech acharei b'midbar. Right? We just ran. Of course, will reveal himself, we ran. Right? You know, free will is because that's part of our job, but it's not that we serve God by choice. You know, we serve God because we're just bonded to him. The one time that this came to an expression ever since was when we said Nasa v'nishma. You know, the famous Gemara, the Apikoros told Rava, you're Amma Pziza, you're an impulsive nation. Why'd you say Nasa v'nishma? You should have asked, here what it is. So Rava says, you know, Tumas Yisharna, we go with faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't ask questions. We have to do our avoda with Bechira, but not that that's the basis of our relationship, that we serve him because we choose to. No, we're bonded. And we follow his rotzen. We do our avoda with Bechira because that's our job. Those are, that's the, called the occupational hazard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to face off with the evil, and you face off with the evil by being tempted by it and choosing against it. But in the Mitzrayim, right, when we first left, we were making a statement. We just run with Ratzon Hashem. That's who we are. We live in a different dimension. That's a Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. It's a famous word from Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He calls it Chag HaMatzos. We call it Chag HaPesach. Because each one is talking about the greatness of the other. We call it Chag HaPesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over us, spared us, put us in a special dimension, like we said. But he calls it, the Chumash calls it Chag HaMatzos, more often than not. Right? Talk about what we did, how we just ran. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go, we ran. We didn't ask questions. And that's what the matzah represents. Lo yispik b'tzekam lotzeis, we didn't consider it and make a choice. Nothing to consider, no choices. We make choices only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu added on that challenge in our avodah. But we are be'etzem avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants something, we just run to do it. And that's what the Zohar says, that the word matzah and mitzvah is virtually the same word. That's missing the vav. You know, and of course, you know, that vav is, we got that 6 weeks later with the 6 weeks of the Omer. Then we got mitzvahs by Shavuos. Chag Matan Toraseinu. Right? But matzah is, you know, the word mitzvah without the vav. The vav represents, you know, Bechira. You know, you have to be a gadol. You have to be, you can't be a minor. You have to be bar bat mitzvah. You have to have, you know, be big. You have to have that space. You have to have your own space and do have, you know, the ability to make choices. But that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do mitzvahs. That doesn't mean that that's the basis of your relationship with him. The basis of it is unmitigated, unquestioning commitment. Then he adds to you the added challenge that you're going to have to make choices. So the basis is matzah. Without free will, just run. Without consideration, without choosing. When you see Gilui Shechina, you run. Lo speaks out, Ach Nigla Melcha, there was a revelation, we ran. No questions. Then, you know, after that, you know, on that basis of matzah, you build mitzvah. There's that commitment. Now let's see, with that commitment as your bedrock, let's see how you face off when you have to, how you manage when you have to make choices. That's
right. Going back to, for a second, the point you made that the Jews were on a different level in Mitzrayim.
That's
so
right.
So that the Egyptians just fell over it. 4/5 did not leave.
Yeah, but they died earlier than that. They died during the 3 days of darkness.
Oh, they died through
the Shlosh Afela.
So by this time,
whoever was left, yes, is on a different level. Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. And now, lastly, Moror. These are elements we're not Yotzi or Sibetu said. Moror. Now, it's very interesting that Moror Bismana says Durabona. Matzah is Doraisa, but Moror is only Doraisa if we have it to Korban Pesach. And I'll tell you what it represents. It's just, you know, you should ask a question. Why is Moror last? Moror should have been first, because we were first enslaved, right? And then we were liberated. So Pesach and Matzah is connected to liberation. So it should be Moror, Pesach, Matzah. A Moror, Matzah, Pesach. But, you know, why is Moror last? So the real reason is that, you know, it's the hardest to understand, that we have to also understand for the story to be complete. You know, there's a theme to the story. The theme is Kol Mai Da'avdim Mishmai Latav. It's one of the themes to the story of life. Everything is for the good. Right? It's one of the themes of the story of life. That means the Shibud also was also for the good. You know, whatever it is, it helped to get out the contamination of Adam Rishon, you know, from the Chet Adam Rishon. Right? All the many things that Chazal and the Zohar say about how the Shibud was important and it was constructive. Yeah, but it's easy to say. It's not easy to appreciate. You know? It's one of these things that's easy to say. Generally you say it when it's someone else's problem. Yeah, it's Latov, right? All right, and that's why, you know, Morrow's Last is going to be the hardest thing to appreciate. How, you know, this that the Shibud is also part of the story. It's also part of the Tikkun, part of the master plan. And we're not going to appreciate that until the end of days, that when we have Korban Pesach, when we have that Shlemus, that's when we'll understand how tomorrow is also for our benefit. It's the hardest part to appreciate. That's why it's last. It goes in conceptual order. I said this just recently at Sheva Brachas. So understanding, you know, appreciating marriage. Chazal Darshan Apostle on Yitzias Yisrael marriage. Okay, Moshe V'chidim Baisa, Motzei Asurim B'Koshoros. Pasuk Shal tell you about Yitzias Yisrael. Chazal Darshan on Shiduchim and B'Koshoros Bechi Shiros. Either crying or singing, you know, depending on how your marriage is. But, you know, so I explained, you know, you know, the Haggadah is going in the order of what's easiest to appreciate. And the challenge is to appreciate, you know, dealing with things that are harder to appreciate. Pesach, very easy to appreciate. All your enemies are dropping dead around you, and you're being spared. No, you got no problem appreciating that. That's easy to appreciate. Matzah, you're on the run. Oh, you're on the run, you know. You don't have Yeshiva Das. That's a little bit harder. Morar, that's the hardest thing to appreciate. That's also marriage, you know. The aspects are easier to appreciate. The challenge of, you know, still the Bechi and the Shiros, right? The Dima and the Rina. It's all a package deal, and you have to, the challenge is to appreciate it all, the whole package. And that's called Shleimus. Shleimus is when you appreciate everything, and it's Shalem. All of life experience, and all that life throws at the young couple, and everything that, all the baggage that they both bring in. That's, you appreciate all of it, just. But the so the Morar is only it's only Doraisa when we have the Korban Pesach, when we have all our Madregas, it's easier to get our head around, you know, how the hard times were also part of the story. But the Rabbanan instituted to do it Bizman HaZeh anyway, and still in that place, in last place in the succession, because as the Radziner explains, what does it say? We say Morazu Hashuma. That's the pasuk we quote when we point to the Mara. Or, you know, they talk some, but we end off. You know, so what does Chazal say on that word, beforech? Right? A lot of different drushes. But amongst the many, we'll only mention the one that's most nogea to the point that Radziner wants to make. Beferach. Farech is an acronym. Beferach. They sweet-talked us. You know, there's a Lashon Chazal that Paro himself was initially went out and worked in the pyramids also. It's a national effort. We were sweet-talked into it. All right, and that's not only that, you know, there's a Chazal that even a slave couldn't escape from Egypt. And the Radziner explains, you know, people were sweet-talked, like, you know, Egypt is where it's at. You don't want to be anywhere else. So it's not like they had great guards. You know, no slave would even think of running away from Egypt. And what, go to those other barbaric countries? Here I'm part of a massive empire. You know, it's like a communist society, the state. You know, everything for the state, or everything for Pharaoh. No one wanted to live anywhere else. No one wanted a different way of life. Slaves thought they had it better as a slave in Mitzrayim than living anywhere else in the world. It was beferach. They were sweet-talked into it, right? You know, and the highest level of geula is that all those things that we were sweet-talked into, we were brainwashed into liking, we should now view them as bitter. Because at the time, they seemed sweet. the gula is not complete. And that's it, you know, the secular world, you know, liberal values. This is the enlightened way. This is the kind way. We have to not only say, well, we don't do it that way, but we have to, everything that they call sweet, we have to view that as bitter. And then the gula is complete. That you're not psychologically in any way tied to it. That all the ferach, all the pain, you know, that this is the way it ought to be. This is, you know, yeah, you have to, all that sweetness, all that sweet talk has to be viewed as bitter. Yeah. And then you're really free. Then you're really free. And that's why the Rabban will metaken more, and they're metaken it less, because that's probably the hardest part. That you have to look back on the whole experience and everything that they told you. Like, you shouldn't say, oh, I have mixed feelings about it. There are certain aspects of it that were good. No. Nothing good about being in Egyptian culture. Nothing good about it. Well, the sweet things are bitter. So, you know, you say, have mixed feelings.
So even they were worked so, you know, so crazy and hard.
Slave mentality.
Well, the Stockholm syndrome.
I was going to say it. Stockholm syndrome. You identify. Neither. What do you mean? You know, throughout the desert, Zahar Tzadaga, you know, they gave us fish and they gave us watermelon. You know, I was complaining how they ate better in Mitzrayim than they ate, you know, in the desert. It's not, the gula is not complete until, you know, even the sweet stuff, you view as bitter. So without mentioning these three things, the story is not complete. Am Yisrael lives in a different dimension. Am Yisrael just follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any questions, right? And that there's nothing good about the second life, nothing sweet there, nothing sweet. Even the things that were sugar-coated, don't look at it with mixed feelings. It's the sweet stuff is bitter. All right, Rosh Hashanah, Gula Shem, we have Cheirus, you know, Beguf, Benefesh, Uberuach.